From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my lovely wife, Claire Ann. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. And as we close out our program, Don Day of Day Weather will be here to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. And it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in Chicago, from the CME Group on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower in the soft red winter wheat. The March contract at $7.31, down 10.5 for the day. The July or the harvest month at $7.41, down 9.75. The Kansas hard red at $8 even, down 8.25 for the day. Back in Chicago, from the CME pit for the corn, March contract $6.96, down 5.5 cents. May futures at $6.95, 6.5 lower in July. $6.86, down 5.25. September corn, $5.78, up a penny and a quarter. December, or rather, up a penny. Oh, that's correct, penny and a quarter higher. And the December contract up 4 cents for the day at $5.62. The March futures at $5.73, up 4.25 on the day. These are all closes and not settlement prices. March contract for the soybeans down 12 cents, $14.19.5. May at $14.06, that's 11.25 lower. And July soybeans at $14.25, down 4.5. August at $13.67, down a penny and a half for the day. September at $13.09, a half lower. And then in November, new crop actually gained a penny and a half to finish at $12.70 on its last trade. Bean meal futures at $410.80 a ton, down 2.20. Bean oil at $51.15, that's 9 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $129.95, down 40 cents. June 30 lower at 125.67.5. The April feeders at 147.15, down at $1.47.5, and the May at 150 and a nickel, down $1.20. April live hogs at $86 even, 37.5 cents lower. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $97.46 a barrel, up 43 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, up 2.5 cents at $3.47. Ethanol at $2.38.8. That's 0.9 cents lower, and the difference between the two on the spread is 65.9 cents, 3.4 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.23.6, down 4.3, and the heating oil at $3.23.5, that's 3.5 cents lower. Gold futures on the day at $1,648.90 an ounce, a settlement price up 50 cents. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 40 degrees on a west wind at about 7 miles an hour, partly cloudy this evening, a low of 29. Tomorrow sunny with a high of 46, Wednesday evening cloudy and 30. Thursday, sunny and 45, and Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 26. Friday, cloudy and 33. Friday night, cloudy and 18. Saturday, partly sunny and 27. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 32 degrees.
Our 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for March 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got some of the best in the business presenting on the hottest topics, including farmland values for 2013, diversifying your operations with livestock, and, of course, our very popular soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Our theme this year is Strategies for Market Profitability in 2013. Guarantee your seat by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. The number to call is 217-333-7300.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the February 12 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I take it you had a busy day, but it was kind of quiet, I guess, in Chicago?
You know, the markets continue their little drift or erosion on down. You know, it looks like a continued slightly better weather forecast for South America, a continued feeling that maybe the weather problems are over for now down there or subsiding a little bit, and the fact that we're looking at the government to be coming with, you know, their production estimates for next year of over 14 over 3.3 on the corn and the beans, and that says we'll have some carryout next year with good weather.
And do you believe it?
Do I believe it? You know, one of our major news wires that we read, one of the guys was making the comment this morning that he went and contacted three of his most trusted long-term weather forecasters, and he got three totally different forecasts. One of them very bullish, one of them very bearish, and one just sort of somewhat bullish. So, you know, they don't know for sure, and they're the best in the world at it. You know, it's something Ed Kieser always told me, I really can't tell you what's going to happen that far out.
So the only thing you can do is assume normal at this time, and that would probably push at least corn prices sharply lower.
Sharply lower, it would, Todd. And it's the point, and we've got a guessing game out here right now. We know that we're tight on old crop corn, and we know we can have a fair amount of new crop corn. And when do they come together?
How about soybeans?
Soybeans, basically the same thing, because we're looking at the date that you have to decide when China's going to go to Brazil for the majority. Right now, we're still shipping an awful lot of beans and selling a lot of beans. You know, and we've had tremendously, you know, the month of January and February here has had recordly high or tight basis levels for corn and beans, so the cash is very tight here in the U.S. But if we look at the world stocks, well, of course, they are a little better.
What's the trade think of Washington's stance or standoff at the moment?
Well, you know, we took the cattle and hogs down on that, the talk about the sequestration, and that we'll take meat inspectors out of packing plants and maybe have a meat shortage and the other thing. It's a great talking point politically, but, you know, those packing plants are paying those inspectors and along the way and whatever, and I think if we really look into it, that maybe shouldn't be happening along here. But we do have some real problems coming up with some of our federal offices and what's going on and what can happen here if we don't get things straightened out by the end of March.
Anything that producers should be considering at this time other than watching the February crop insurance setting month?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be very big, and we're going to want to watch that and look at it. And I know that there's going to be some different ideas of which type of insurance to take, but it's going to be very important what levels come out. I think we want to keep a real close eye that this market doesn't completely, you know, go through all of its resistance or support points on the downside, but we want to be looking for a little bit of a rally and probably doing a little pricing new crop corn and beans both.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. One of the things I'd like you to do right now is dial this number, 217-333-7300, and with your offer of $25, you can pick up a ticket to our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. It's the Beef House on Tuesday, March of the 5th, and includes the Beef House meal and almost all of our analysts and a couple of other extra folks as well. John Bondurant will be there, Murray Wise, and Peter Goldsmith. It's the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Dial in right now at 217-333-7300 and pick up your tickets today.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now here's another website I want you to visit. It's the FarmDoc website. It's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The Ag Economist from the U of I posts there each and every business day of the year. And this afternoon or tomorrow, I don't know which one this will be, on the FarmDoc Daily podcast and the FarmDoc Daily website, Gary Schnitke will update his views of crop insurance and some ideas of, well, which crop insurance product might be worthwhile this year. Could be different than you think. FarmDocDaily.illinois.edu. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA is forecasting net farm income to be $128.2 billion in 2013. That would be an all-time nominal high and the highest since 1973 on an inflation-adjusted basis. Forecasters say they expect production to climb from last year, with volumes from larger harvests offsetting price declines. The USDA projections assume crop production will return to historic levels after last year's drought. The agency also expects a climb in the value of livestock, poultry, and dairy production, up 3.5% from 2012. USDA lowered its estimates for 2012 farm income by about 1% from its November outlook to $112.8 billion. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has sent to the White House Office of Management and Budget the agency's proposed rule that would modify regulations that implement the 2002 Country of Origin Labeling Law. Under COOL, retailers are required to label beef, pork, lamb, chicken, fruits, and vegetables and other food products with the name of the country from which the products were grown or produced. Last year, the World Trade Organization ruled that labeling was illegal. Since that time, USDA and the U.S. Trade Representative's office have been considering whether to modify the COOL statute through congressional action, modify the COOL regulations through agency rulemaking, or do both. Coca-Cola says its profit rose 13% in the fourth quarter. The Atlanta-based company said global sales volume rose 3%, driven by international growth. In the North American market, volume rose just 1%. Sales volume rose 12% in Russia and 13% in Turkey. Volume in Europe declined 5%. For the October to December period, Coca-Cola earned $1.87 billion, or 41 cents per share. That's compared with $1.66 billion, or 36 cents per share in the year-ago period. The National Federation of Independent Businesses today says that small business owners are starting 2013 with low expectations for the economy and their companies. The group's Small Business Optimism Index rose 0.9% to 88.9 in January, but remains at a level that points to continuing pessimism among business owners. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. There are several ways that you can listen to our programs right here on this radio station, or you can listen to us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On your smartphone at m.willag.org. No www in front of that, just m.willag.org. Or you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. Well, it's time to define a marketing term. Commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb, joins us. She believes the key to profitable grain trading is building knowledge about the fundamental practices of the industry. Today, she'll help us define the word basis. Elaine, thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about basis and what farmers and merchandisers use the futures for, and the basis and what it all means.
Well, Todd, basis is an important word. This is a really big, important word, particularly for farmers and for grain merchandisers. You know, if you're somebody who's just an investor in the grain markets, you're trying to make money on the futures, you probably don't care about basis very much, but you should. And here's why. Because basis is a reflection of the difference between the cash price of grain and the futures price of grain. So the futures contracts are just one standard benchmark. You know, if corn is $7.00 in the futures trade in Chicago, what does that mean for you if you're out in, you know, western Minnesota, or if you're down in Texas? They're not going to be the same price in those locations. It's not going to be the same price for every different quality of corn or of grain. Wheat particularly has different protein levels that has different cash prices. So basis is a reflection of how the actual cash price of a specific sample of grain in a specific location relates to the overall market.
What's the theory of geographical basis and cash to futures convergence?
Well, because the futures contracts traded in Chicago can ultimately be delivered on with some cash grain, physical grain, then you would expect the futures price, those contracts traded in Chicago, to eventually, because of arbitrage, they must match the cash price of the grain that's being delivered. So since the grain is delivered to warehouses along the Illinois waterway, for instance, for the Chicago contracts, then you expect those futures contracts, they must eventually, because of arbitrage, match the cash price there along the Illinois waterway. So you would expect basis should be zero there, and then it can kind of radiate outwards there, farther and farther away. It gets cheaper and cheaper. The cash grain gets cheaper and cheaper because you have to transport it. But in reality, in this country, because we export grain out of the Gulf, because we use grain at ethanol plants all throughout the Corn Belt, and because we feed grain to livestock in the Texas Panhandle, for instance, you know, basis gets really crazy. It definitely tends to be positive. Cash prices tend to be positive. They tend to be higher than the futures prices where we're using it, so for feeders or at the Gulf. And it tends to be lower where it's produced and it has to be shipped into these demand areas.
This is a recent development that we would have overs coming into convergence, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very unusual. In February, the average cash price of corn in the Corn Belt in the United States right now is 1 cent over. It's 1 cent more than the actual futures price. That's incredibly rare. Usually out in the country, we have plenty of grain, and so the bidders are usually bidding a cash price that is something under the futures price. But after the 2012 drought in 2013, we have a premium. We have these overs. In eastern Iowa, there's, you know, a major ethanol plant is bidding 25 cents over the futures contract, and that's in February. So this is incredibly unusual, Todd.
This is what you would call the reality of basis prices across the country?
Yeah, and in fact, this is why, even if you're just an investor and you don't really care what the cash price is in, you know, Shelby, Iowa, for instance, you could still make an argument that you should be paying attention to basis too, because basis might be trying to tell you something. Like we said this year, this really strong basis is telling us that the supply of grain, of actual real physical corn out in the countryside, is very scarce. And people that are trying to buying it are having a very hard time. So that is something of value, even to investors.
How does basis arbitrage happen? How's it conducted?
Well, if you're a basis trader, a grain merchandiser that is not a farmer and not an end user, and you're just buying and selling the grain every day with cash contracts, you never want to have the risk of being exposed to the up and down movement of the market. So they're always perfectly hedged. Their cash purchases are hedged with futures sales, and their cash sales are hedged with futures purchases. So every single trade they make is only dependent on basis, and their goal is to try and make money by buying cheap basis, relatively cheap basis, and selling relatively expensive basis, buy low, sell high, and it's all done as a function of basis, not as cash price.
Elaine Cubb is the author of Mastering the Grain Markets, a broker and an analyst, joins us here to talk about basis. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural energy markets on the phone line. Steve Platt, he's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Thanks, Steve, for taking the time. It's kind of been busy in the agricultural energy world. 20 plants across the United States have been idled, and I suppose they're mostly at hot idle, for ethanol out of about 200 that service our needs around the nation.
Certainly, it's been a reflection of the tight corn supply situation, more so than prices. You're actually seeing the lower production levels actually help out some of the break-evens on some of the the ethanol plants. And that, I think, is helping restore some balance to the market.
Yeah, we can see that reflected, I suppose, in the spread between wholesale and ethanol, wholesale gasoline prices, or the RBOB, and lead month ethanol, which is now, what, around 66 cents?
Yeah, that has certainly been a factor contributing to some of the better margins we've seen. Also, you've seen some weakness in nat gas, and power prices have been helping out in terms of maintaining margins as well.
And some of those plants, I think, but and I don't know whether you'll know this or not, have been retooling to take a bit more, extract a bit more corn oil out of their particular end products so that they can sell that off in another place.
Well, that certainly is helping in terms of some of the byproducts, helping to provide the better margins that we've seen.
I will make one note for the hog producers, the end users there. If you're looking at DDGs that are coming from a plant that is extracting more corn oil or the fats from their solubles, 6 to 9% in the way of fats coming off of your DDGs is perfectly fine, according to Hans Stein, for hog and swine production. If it gets down to 2 or 3%, then you have a problem and you have to do some adjustment. But you do have to apparently put a little lysine in with that as well. Take a look at the world market for energies at this time. What does it tell you about supply of crude oil coming into the springtime?
Well, it actually has seen a somewhat tight situation actually evolve, particularly in the products. We've seen the cracks, particularly for gasoline, move sharply higher. And a lot of that coming off the closure of some refineries on the East Coast, lower import levels into the East Coast, creating a tight situation for the gasoline. The crude market has helped, has basically kept pace. And some of that, I think, reflects the world economic climate, which has gotten a little bit better. Nevertheless, I'm still looking as we move into the springtime, the supply of crude getting increasingly better, that we'll see a surplus situation evolve on a global basis, and certainly we continue to see a little bit better availability in the U.S. as the new sources of production, particularly out of the Bakken Basin, come online.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too. That's Steve Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services and joins us from their Chicago office. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the latest weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Plum Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1791, Peter Cooper was born. An American inventor and founder of the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, he obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1850, William Davis was born. a U.S. geographer, geologist, and meteorologist, he founded the science of the study of landforms. In 1872, Silas Noble and James P. Cooley of Massachusetts patented a toothpick-making machine. In 1877, a news dispatch was sent using Alexander Graham Bell's newfangled invention, the telephone, for the first time in the U.S. It was sent from Salem to the Boston Globe in Boston, a distance of 16 miles. In 1973, the first metric distance road signs in the U.S. were erected between Columbus and Cincinnati, Ohio. By the way, as early as 1790, Thomas Jefferson proposed a decimal measurement system similar to the metric system. And in 1976, the popular food coloring red dye number 2 was banned by the Food and Drug Administration because studies had shown it might cause cancer. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Now let's start with the weather forecast in the Midwest first, please.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be a busy weather pattern. We've got several weather systems that we see lined up on our forecast charts moving through the Midwest and Great Lakes and, yep, the East Coast, the New England area, and areas of the South Central and Southeast United States have 2 to 3 storm systems, maybe 4 over the next 10 days, that will be rolling through. So we're going to be busy here watching the weather here over the next week or two.
Will the folks out to the west get a little bit rainfall in this process as well?
Well, I tell you, that is still one real big problem area. And we're still looking, despite the active weather pattern, at least in the next week, many of the areas of the western high plains are still going to suffer from some dryness. Now, in about 10 or 14 days, we see some slower moving, bigger moving storm systems that have got more potential for places like Nebraska and Kansas and some of the central and southern Rockies. Now, there has been some beneficial precipitation in South Dakota, North Dakota, and portions of Nebraska in the last week with a major winter storm. Oklahoma and portions of Texas today, even the Panhandle areas, getting their most significant snow they've seen in a while. But still, areas along and east of the Mississippi will be most favored for the heaviest precipitation.
This time of year would not be a time when a substantial change, I think, would come to most of these places in the United States. But that 3 to 4 weeks out, you suggested, when bigger storms might be brewing, would be more likely. Is that a good sign?
It is a good sign. In fact, we're seeing a pretty active pattern all across the lower 48 for the last half of the month. And we're hoping that continues into the early part of March. Our long-range trends are for the weather activity in the western states to pick up, but I still think we've got another week to 10 days before it will really get going. So we're really hoping that the end of this month and into early March, the western areas will finally get into it, which actually, climatologically speaking, this is the time of year we're approaching it where the chances do get better in those western areas. But the whole lower 48 is going to see a very active weather pattern for the next 2 to 3 weeks, so be prepared.
Take me on a tour of South America, please, and its growing regions.
Well, still concerned about the dryness in Argentina. Now, the outlook there is a little bit better. Argentina's rain chances are getting a little bit better than they've been, although they're still looking at some soil moisture deficits there. Brazil, which has had more consistent rains, that trend will continue as well.
Other places across the planet that are of concern? I'm thinking of China, maybe Ukraine, some of the growing regions in Western Europe.
Well, those areas, all of them that you just mentioned, are still looking at very much a wintry weather pattern continuing. China's weather pattern, most of China's growing areas are looking at near normal temperatures and near normal precipitation, maybe a little bit on the colder side. And as you get into especially Eastern Europe, not real wet, but continued quite cold. Western and Central Europe, looking at a little bit of a drier pattern with temperatures close to normal.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to dial in at 217-333-7300 for your tickets to our all-day Ag Outlook. It's the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I'm Todd Gleason.